Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Bob Thibodeau with the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and you are listening to Life Transformation Radio with my good friend Sean Douglas. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast so you will not miss any of the upcoming episodes, and be blessed in all that you do.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. And this is the first episode of 2019. I am super, super pumped. I hope that you had an amazing Christmas, an amazing New Year's Eve, whatever you were doing. So thank you so much for joining us. Now, I have to tell you that I'm starting off 2019 with a powerful guest. So strap in, because this is going to be amazing. So Life Transformation Radio is heard in over 66 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, all across Europe, and Australia and New Zealand. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but I also do 11 a.m. Eastern Time shows for my international guests, so be on the lookout for those. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode by subscribing and then rate and review the show anywhere you're comfortable listening to podcasts, specifically on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, or the Google Play Music app. Or right here on Blog Talk Radio. On the show, I have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. This is a live show, so if you have any questions for my guests, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome my very good friend, Michelle Schaefer. What's happening?
I am excited to be here, Sean. Thanks so much for having me on.
I am so pumped that you get to be my first guest for 2019 on like the first day of the year. Like, this is so cool for me. I'm geeking out. This is so cool.
Welcome to 2019.
I know, right? So my first question, before we get into that, I got to let everybody know your brilliance. Let everybody know what's going on with you. So the episode is called The Art of Giving a Damn with Michelle Schaefer. Michelle is an award-winning blogger, host of the Art of Giving a Damn podcast, international speaker, author, marketing consultant, and human psychology junkie. She's the creator of Lingo Dynamics, the science of words that feel. She's written 42 blog posts in a single day. She's mentored more than 15,000 bloggers through blog challenges, published 1,000 plus posts on her own blog, and is currently at work on her new book, The Art of Giving a Damn, The Rise of the Empath Entrepreneur. Through mastermind groups, membership programs, and private consulting, Michelle helps clients transform their marketing and sales to leverage online tools and automation so they can attract their dream clients and make a positive difference in the world while growing a profitable business. If you want to know more about her podcast, and I ask that you subscribe to it because it's a phenomenal, phenomenal podcast. It's called The Art of Giving a Damn. And the website is theartofgivingadamn.com. If you want to read Michelle's blog, go to Michelle Schaefer, S-H-A-E-F-F-E-R. That's how you spell the last name, MichelleSchaefer.com. And then it's all in the show notes here, the 41 collaborative ways to grow your business. Go click on that. Get it today. So the first question I have to ask is why? What is your deep why for what you do?
You know, that's such a great question. I love listening to your guests answer that and finding out, you know, what is it that really drives people? And as I shared with you, it's been something that's really evolved over the years for me. When I started my business, it was literally out of necessity. And I don't know, we may talk more about that later, but it was literally, I felt like it was the only choice I had was to start a business to try to support myself and my kid. And over the years, it's really become something that what drives me to do what I do is the belief that every single one of us was designed with a gift that we are here on earth to share. We all have something that we're here to do, a message that we're here to get out. And the only way we can do that is if we really start to figure out how do we get people to listen? How do we get people to notice us, to listen to us? And how do we get out there and get visible? And so what motivates me to do what I do is helping my clients and helping people around me to get out there and get their gifts out there and make a positive difference in the world in a way that really does take care of them, take care of their family, and allow them to build a profitable business.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So let's talk about, because the theme of the show is transformation, let's talk about how that why formulated in your life. I'm sure it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and it can be difficult, right? It can be difficult starting off, building a business, all that stuff, right? So to walk us through some of that, what has been some of the transformations that you have gone through in your life?
Sure. So that's a big question. You know, as I mentioned a minute ago, when I started my business, and I shared this with you privately, it was very much one of those transformational moments of something has to change. My son was a toddler at the time, and he woke me up one morning because he was hungry, wanted breakfast, and picked him up and walked to the kitchen knowing that there was no food in our fridge, knowing that the only thing I had left in my kitchen was a store brand box of mac and cheese. Like, I couldn't even afford Kraft. It was store brand mac and cheese and a package of ramen noodles. And he didn't want either because that's what we had been eating for weeks. And I remember just collapsing on my kitchen floor, holding him. He's crying, I'm crying, and feeling like this couldn't be life, this couldn't be reality, that there had to be something more. And I remember just sitting there, tears streaming down my face, and telling myself I would never be in this situation again. And I sat there on the floor, and I just prayed that God would help me figure out how to start a business, and that I knew people could do it. I knew there had to be a way to do it. I was going to figure it out. And, you know, it's, 18 years later now, and I've got a business that supported me, that supported my kids, that has allowed me to do amazing things that I'm so excited about. And it was because that moment, instead of just surrendering to, okay, well, I guess this is the way it is, I had that realization that I think a lot of us have either gone through already or are going to have at some point that there is more to life. We're not here to, you know, wake up, pay bills, get through the day, and then die. There's so much more. And, that's I guess where it all started. I had no business background. I don't have a college education. I had nothing that I could point to and go, oh, yeah, I can do this. It was just necessity. It was pure determination. For me, it's one of those things that I am able to, when I work with clients, I don't care who I'm talking to. I can literally look at them and say, if I can do this, you can do this. Because you've got advantages, I promise you, that I didn't have when I started. It doesn't matter where somebody's starting from or what they don't think they have. What they do have is the ability to create something that will work. Mm-hmm. It just takes determination. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really where I started my business and made that decision of I'm going to figure it out.
That's awesome. And I want to thank you for sharing that, because I know you can't be the only one who has been inside this situation where you're at the end of your rope, right? I mean, you spent your last dollar on something, right? And it's not like that you're paying thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands on things that don't matter or whatever. It's just that's the nature of what happens is you're putting your faith out there. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it works out, but sometimes it doesn't work in the way that you think it will. So the message that I get from that, because I've been there to where I'm like, okay, I literally have like $2 in my bank account. Like, what the hell am I going to do?
Right.
You know? And you make it happen no matter what. And it's really a testament of your resilience. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an opportunity. Anytime we're in a situation like that, we can either give up or we can just fight harder and just prove to ourselves anything is possible if we make the decision. If failure really isn't an option.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. I firmly believe that everybody holds the potential in their body. Like they hold the potential within themselves to do whatever it is that they want to do. You know, I don't believe that. And you know what's funny is you said 18 years ago, it was like right around the time the internet was happening. you know what I mean? Like I'm literally graduating high school, getting ready to do nothing with my life, you know, but I come from an entrepreneurial family. So I was like, I wasn't going to college because I jacked around in school all the time and I didn't get good grades at all. I hated school. You know, I was going to go work for some family members that, you know, have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a testament that business isn't for everybody. And some people are comfortable just getting a 9-to-5. They just are.
Yeah.
And you said not to pay bills for the rest of my life, not to work for the rest of my life. Like,
right.
Some people think that that's all there is for them.
You know, that's one of the things that, when I get in conversations with people, you can usually figure out, you know, you hit on a topic and you just see them spark, right? You see that light inside them. And to me, that's that moment where I'm like, that's what you're here for. That's what you're excited about. Go do something with it. Because, you know, it's so easy to resign ourselves to what we see as, well, this must be it. This must be what life's about. And there's so much more potential inside us, like you said, if we just give ourselves permission to see the world a little bit differently.
100%. Absolutely. So what did you find out through all of your transformation that you've been through? Because I'm sure that's not the only one. What did you find out during your transformational moments that have happened in your life that really has propelled you forward to what you're doing with your clients?
Oh, that is such a great question. I think there's been so many little moments of realization for me that I think the biggest thing is, you know, we all talk about think outside the box, get outside the box, you know, don't stay in a cube, all of that. But I think we tend to put ourselves inside a box. We define ourselves, we label ourselves, we put limits on ourselves. And when we realize that we're the only one writing that story, we're the one saying, well, this is what I can do with my life, and not really diving into what's actually possible, I think that's been the biggest thing for me is seeing there really aren't any limits as long as I don't limit myself. There's really nothing that says, well, okay, this is who I am, so I can't ever be something different. If we're willing to take the risks, if we're willing to do the work, do the scary things, we can exceed any limits we think we have. You know, I sent out an email to my list this morning. I was kind of joking about whether I was crazy or not. And one of the things I mentioned was that I nearly failed gym. I know people laugh at me when I say that because they're like, you can't fail gym class. I'm like, oh, yes, you can. Even if you're trying, if you are me, I'm not coordinated. I have depth perception challenges, we'll put it that way. My high school gym teacher nearly failed me. The only reason I passed gym class, which totally messed up my perfect GPA, was because every single day after school, I would go in and I would walk. Because I couldn't even run for 2 miles. I would walk 3 miles every single day after school. He raised my grade one letter for doing that extra credit so I could pass gym class. because like I couldn't shoot a basket. I tried. It's just not my skill set. I couldn't hit a baseball. All the stuff in class. Anytime they did skills testing,
wow,
it was bad. Right. So it's funny because a couple of years ago I had some health issues and I had to get healthy, and so I started working out. Well, discovered I actually like powerlifting. And so I would go into the gym, and I go into the gym almost every day, and I lift weights. And my personal record for like leg press, as an example, is over 1,000 pounds. Now, if you look at me and the kid I was in high school, and you go, okay, that girl right there, she can't even pass gym class. I might think, well, why would I even pick up weights? Why would I even go to a gym? But because I didn't stop and look and see, okay, well, what's normal for a woman? I Googled it a few years later. I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. I didn't even know that. I didn't put that limit on myself because I didn't stop and go, okay, what's the box I'm supposed to be in? What's a good goal here? I just went, I love this. I'm going to go do it. And I just kept pushing myself. And so that's one of the biggest lessons I think I've learned both in life and in business is don't set a limit for yourself. Don't look at other people and go, well, given my, you know, particular personality and my gifts, I can only do this, because it's not true. We really can do whatever we set our minds to if we get excited about it and focus on it and take the time and energy required to do it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100% agree with that. So how have you taken your transformational moments and used it to elevate your clients?
Oh, I love that question. I think the biggest thing that I have learned with blogging and with podcasting and just being willing to be vulnerable and tell my story is that when we share those moments, when we share our transformations, our low points, our high points, other people are able to look at it and go, wow, if you can do it, I can do it. And it inspires other people to realize that they have potential they didn't know they had. So, you know, I share the stories, the embarrassing moments of, you know, hey, before the first time I spoke on stage, I was in the bathroom puking my guts out because I was so nervous. I share those stories and people go, oh, wow, okay, so I'm not that nervous. If she can get through that, I can get on stage too. And I think that's the most powerful piece of it for my clients is being able to identify with those emotions and those feelings and going, oh, this is normal. I'm not alone. Because when we realize we're not alone, then we're empowered to actually go make a different choice, because we're like, okay, other people have been there. Other people have done this, and they were able to get through it. And so I think that's the biggest way that those transformational moments really allow me to make a difference for others is by sharing them.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody listening right now, I preach this all the time. Like, you have something to share. Like,
yeah,
everybody has a message.
Yeah.
Everybody. And we just need to figure out what that message is. And when I'm working with speakers and I'm working with business owners and entrepreneurs, the one thing that we hit on the most is, what is your message? What is the theme of what you want to do? If you look at all of the great speakers of the world, they all have a theme. Les Brown is doing something when you don't think you can, like making it happen no matter what, right? Then you look at Tony Robbins is like living your dream life. Like, I mean, it's called the Date with Destiny, I think, is one of his things, one of his events. Another one is the UPW, you know, Unlock the Power Within. Like, it's like living, like, what does it look like in your mind? And then how do we live that? You know, so dream, plan, and live like your best life, you know. There's an organization that I do a lot of work with called the One Life Fully Lived. And a lot of those speakers are about dreaming, planning, and living your best life. So it seems like you've got yours, which is super awesome that it's the art of giving a damn. Like, that's your thing.
You know, I got so fed up, honestly. I would get angry. And, like, you don't want to get angry on a coaching call with a client, right? But I would get angry. Right. I would hang up the call, and I'm like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing people come to me and say, an ex or this person in my life or this business coach or this guru told me I can't make this work. But this is what I'm here to do. I know this is my mission. I got so tired of hearing people say, I've been told I can't build a business around this thing that I do. And so that's actually what inspired my podcast, was like, I'm done with this. I'm not gonna let people tell themselves this story anymore. Whatever your gift and your mission is, you can build a profitable business around it. And it's not just about the bottom line numbers. It's not just about making money. There is something bigger in all of us. And when we connect to that and find it, and like you said, get that message out there, that's when things work. That's when your business works, when you get fired up and passionate about it. And that's a huge part of what I do with clients, is just give them permission to step into that and go, no, I'm not meant to be an accountant in an office. I help people connect with their angels, or whatever that thing is that they do, right? Because I believe, I agree with you. Everybody has a gift. And it's just about finding that and then being brave enough to say, yeah, I'm going to step into this, because I know right now there are people waiting for me. There are people praying to hear the story that I have to share.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And you have an amazing story, and you have amazing transformations, and you have a lot to give. You know, so we met in 2017. Yeah. 2017 at Steve Bolscher's event, the New Media Summit.
Yeah.
So everybody listening, if you want to attend that New Media Summit about podcasting, about how to become a podcaster or to get booked on podcasts, you can go to newmediasummit.net, newmediasummit.net. So, you know, we met at this event, and automatically I was drawn to you in a couple different ways. But the most insightful thing that I heard from you was the way that you see the world is so much different than everybody else that I talk to. You know, they all want to agree with me. They all want, oh yeah, I see your point. Yeah. It's almost, but you have your own way of thinking, and it almost made me kind of rethink some of my stuff, going, wait, do I truly believe in this, or is this just the norm? This is what we're supposed to believe. Yeah. And I think it plays into a little bit of your strengths, in that you do a lot of psychology work. Not that you are a psychologist, but you dive into that world. I teach resilience skills, which are based on fact-based positive psychology research studies. But you take that psychology and then apply it. And I think that's marvelous.
You know, it's been interesting. And I think there's a couple of things that kind of, you know, sometimes the storms that we go through in life really lead us to things that we never would have gotten to otherwise. And, you know, first of all, I just want to kind of to back up what you said a second ago, guys, if you're listening to this and you're looking either to potentially use the podcast to get your message out there or to connect with people who can help you get it out there, don't miss the New Media Summit. Sean and I have both been there multiple times. It is an amazing event. Steve Ulster is actually who inspired me to start a podcast. And maybe we can come back to that one later, Sean, but sometimes those storms, right, are what really help us find something. And I grew up in an extremely conservative Christian background. And it was very, very interesting. When I was in my late 20s, I actually left the group that I had been part of because I realized that it was a cult. And I spent months.
A cult.
Yes. As defined by U.S. courts, you know, there's a whole bunch more to that part of the story, but I was in an extremely conservative Christian cult. And when I left that, I had so much rewiring to do in my brain. I didn't see myself as valuable as a woman. I didn't see myself, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, we never would have been having this conversation because I didn't feel that I was worthy of even speaking to men, much less speaking to an audience. The first time I spoke on stage, somebody tagged me in a Facebook photo. And I got this message in my Facebook Messenger that was from a friend who said, Michelle, you need to call me. We need to pray together. You have to repent because you're going to go to hell. You literally just elevated yourself above men, because I was on a stage and there were men in the audience in that photo.
Oh.
It was one of those moments where I went, wow, okay, what do I do with this, right? And I really had a lot of intentional rewiring to do in my brain. And it kind of, some of that started to lead me into the psychology of, okay, why did I buy into this? What was it? And especially because I do believe in God. I do believe in a creator. And so to separate some of the dogma that I had been raised with and go, no, there is truth in here, to pull those things apart was really, really hard. I mean, it was it was not easy. And to rewire my own self-worth and my value and what I felt my place was a challenge. And it kind of led me into a lot of things in business. I used to only work exclusively with women. Like, I would not work with a male client because I didn't feel like I could. And so it's definitely been a journey in a lot of different ways. But it caused me to dive into psychology and really start to understand how were people controlled. Because there is a lot of controlling elements in that. And so it's interesting because there's so much crossover between that and marketing and sales and the closing techniques that people use and the techniques and NLP and a lot of that that I am not a big fan of. I had this conversation with my private mastermind yesterday. I'm like, I will not sell to someone who is in a place of fear. I don't want that to be the reason anybody says yes to working with me. I won't push those buttons and I won't take somebody into a dark place and tear them down if I cannot build them back up without them having to say yes to working with me. It's not the way I sell. It's not the way I would close somebody. And what actually triggered me to start studying psychology specifically with sales and lingo dynamics that you mentioned earlier was I had two different sales calls experiences. I got this email from a coach, very, very well-known coach, who was offering strategy sessions. And I had wanted to join her mastermind for a couple of years. So I signed up for the call and I did my homework. Like, I knew who was in her group. I knew what she charged. I knew what I was getting into, right? I wasn't one of those people going into it thinking, oh, I get free coaching. You know, I knew what it was. It was a sales call. I got on the phone with her and she had like 10x'd her prices. And I didn't know that. And so when we got to the close part of the conversation, I had said, yes, I'm interested. I'd love to know more about your program. She's like, here's the investment. I need your credit card. And I'm like, I can't do it. I don't have the money. And she literally called me a liar, told me that she knew I could go to my purse and pull out a card and pay for it. And I literally didn't have credit cards. I don't believe in debt. That's not how I choose to live my life. So I don't have credit cards. And I did not have the money in my bank account. And I remember the conversation, like she went so negative with it, told me that I would never, ever succeed in business, that I would never make more money than I did then because I wasn't willing to be honest. And I cried. Like I cried my eyes out when I got off that call. I was so upset. And I literally thought about giving up. I was like, well, she would know, right? I mean, she's successful. And I know we've all had that moment where somebody we respect has told us we can't do it, right? We all have those people, those voices. And it was one of those things that, you know, I got over it because I was just, again, I was determined I was going to figure this out. And then part of it became, well, I'm going to prove her wrong because I know I can do this, right? Okay. And a couple of years later, I finally got up the courage to get on another call with a coach I wanted to work with. And her name was Therese Skelly. And so we get on this call and she takes me through her sales process, right? And at the end of the call, I said yes to an investment that was definitely higher than I had planned. But I had the money at the time, and I felt great about it was the difference. I was excited. Like, even though I was spending more than I had planned to, and I got off that call, and I'm like, whoa, that was different. What was different about these two calls? Why do I feel so different? And that was what really triggered me to start studying it. I was like, I know what I want to be like. I want to be like the second coach I talked to because she inspired me. Like, I believed I could do anything. After I got off that call, right? I was ready. And she made a huge difference in my business because of the belief she had in me that she was able to transfer. And we all need those people, right, who believe in us even when we can't believe in ourselves. And so I dove into the study of it, and I was like, okay, I know there is no freaking way to measure this, but words make us feel a certain way. Some words get us excited. We feel empowered. Other words will, like, crumble and crash us into pieces. And so that's really where lingo dynamics came from, was me looking for a way to measure that. Like, how do you make it real? Because if you can't measure it, you can't track it, you can't improve it. And there was no way at the time to actually track that. And now with lingo dynamics, I can tell you
there's like 34,000 words in the database. Exactly how does this word make people feel on a scale of 1 to 10 for emotion? Is it positive or negative? Is it empowering and is it exciting? And when you start to really dive into that, you discover exactly what words to use to create those feelings for people so that you can sell and close and influence people, not from a place of manipulation or negativity, but from a place of going, no, what I want you to feel right now is empowered. What I want you to feel is positive, is excited. These are the words I use to do that. And being able to put that into numbers so that I can speak to my copywriter or my marketing coach or others and be like, no, 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 this is how we're going to do it. Here's the numbers that prove it'll work. It is really, I mean, I love that we can do that and really look at how do we solve from that positive place. So that's a little bit of the backstory there.
Perfect. You know, I actually don't have like a sales script or whatever. I don't have that.
Yeah. I don't either.
So I get on calls with people, you know, and so, you know, what's funny about social media, and it can be good or bad. Well, let's go to the bad part first, because I always like bad news first. I like to end things on like a good thing. Let's go to the bad news first. Bad news is a lot of good things get ruined by social media. Okay. So let's say that you and I have these podcasts and they're absolutely amazing. And then a bunch of people, let's say 1,000 people come in and have terribly awful podcasts and they dilute the podcast industry. And they're like, oh my God, podcast is terrible. These shows are terrible. Everybody who has podcasts are terrible, whatever. But we're good though. You know, and you can see this everywhere. You see it in Cops, right? On TV.
Yeah.
They're portrayed as like
horrible
people, but not all of them, right? They're portrayed as men in higher positions who take advantage of women. Not all men are like that, but all of a sudden we're portrayed like that. You see it in women who are on TV in a court case because, you know, they did something to their kids. Like a couple of years ago, they had that big famous one where she killed all their kids. But moms aren't like that, but that's what they're portrayed, right? So the bad part is that when you get on discovery calls, everybody knows what's going to happen.
Right.
Oh, they're going to sell. They're going to going into a discovery call. And you see a lot of Facebook groups like no discovery calls. We're not doing that. Like because so many people have been manipulated and so many people have been screwed over by those who got on these discovery calls for them to call them names and tell them how stupid they are because they're not going to buy the program. You're never going to be nothing. Like there's so many. That's what like emotional abuse is. Like you're emotionally abusing them. It's no different than a husband and wife who emotionally abuse each other, right? Like you're nothing. You need me. I was in a relationship like that. My stepfather did that to my mom for years. My mom says, you're going to leave. I'm going to leave. You're going to leave. Whatever. And he's like, you're never going to find anybody as good as me. And once they say that over and over again, they start to believe it. And that's why they say it.
You do. You start to believe it. Yeah.
Right. And now the good thing is that social media will call your BS quick. And it is so fast, right? It is so fast. If one person, like if one person hates my show and then another, it starts to multiply. If one person sucks, social media is going to call you out on it. They're going to find out. So you can't suck, right? The second thing is that it's a good thing that everybody knows what's going on in a discovery call because you know what's going to happen. It's not somebody being nice to you going, hey, let's spend 30 minutes. Like, I'll tell them right away. Like, hey, let's spend 30 minutes together. If I can help you, I can. If not, then you know, maybe I can refer you to somebody. I have no problem referring somebody because I have a referral network set up to really refer somebody the best way possible and also recoup some income that way. Like 37% of my business is based on referrals. Either I'm referring somebody for some money or they're referring me and I pay them for the referral. Mm-hmm. 10 to 20% of the price, not a big deal. You know, 100 here, 100 there, no big deal, right? The problem that happens is that you have these high-level influencers, you know, I don't know, not really the Tony Robbins, but, you get like Brendon Burchard and Laura Langemeyer and Lisa Sasevich, all amazing people, right? But they're high-level influencers. But you have people trying to be at their level who are not, who are super manipulative.
Yeah.
Super bad.
Well, And I think part of the problem, too, because I completely agree, it's dangerous, the generalizations that happen when it comes to things like all moms are this way or all men are this way or all. I did a podcast episode where we talked about Me Too, and I think it's scary what that movement is creating, because now I have men who are afraid to work with me. They're afraid to be alone with women because of what's going on, and we're losing a really important mentorship opportunity. That's just a whole different topic. But I agree with you on that idea of we tend to all get painted with this broad strokes brush, and we're not all the same. And I think one of the problems that's happening in the coaching and consulting industry is that we have the wrong perspective about marketing and more specifically about sales. Because it's not all about getting a yes at any cost. What it's about is when I get on the phone with somebody, I want them to make the best decision for them. Sometimes that decision is a no. I've literally told people who, you know, were ready to hand me $5K, no, this is not the right decision for where you're at right now. And I will not work with a client if I don't know deep down, not only can I help them get the result, but that they're ready to do what's required to get the result. Because that's a responsibility we have as coaches. You don't just say yes, take anybody's money. You say yes to the people you know you can help, and you help them make the best decision for them. And like you said, sometimes that's referring them to someone else, which I do a lot. There's certain areas of business that I don't work with. There's certain niches or industries that aren't my specialty. There's certain mindset issues that it is not my gift set to fix, and I will send you to somebody whose it is, because that's what's truly being of service. And, you know, I was talking with a client yesterday, and we were having a conversation about what had changed in my business, because I shared privately with them that, you know, in the last couple of years, my business has grown immensely. Like, the value that I'm able to bring to things has grown a lot, and that's allowed my pricing and other things to change. And there's only one question that I've asked myself to be able to do that, and that's, how do I deliver more value? How do I deliver more value? What can I do to make this more valuable? How do I make myself more valuable? What skills do I need to work on as a coach, as a consultant? And, you know, it's something that we're asking the wrong question when our only focus is, how do I get someone to say yes? I shared on a live I did on Facebook with some of my membership group the other day that my favorite clothes, like on a sales call, people ask you, what's your favorite clothes? My favorite clothes is to promise not to close someone. And I will do that. When I do discovery calls or strategy sessions, I will literally tell the person before I get on the phone, look, I am not going to pitch you a thing. What we're going to do is figure out where you're at, what your next step is. If you want to work with me, you have to ask me. You say, Michelle, how do we work together? And then I will tell you what our options are based on where you're at and based on our conversation. But I'm not going to pitch you. I'm not going to sell you. I do that for a couple of reasons. The first is, I'm not a hard salesperson. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I refuse to do it. I made that decision years ago in my business. I have certain moral and ethical lines that I choose not to cross. But bigger than that, you know, we've all seen that quadrant, if you study sales, where they talk about what's the difference between persuasion and manipulation, between influence and coercion. And I think we're wrong when we say it's intent. It's not intent. Intent matters. But I can have the best intent in the world to want to help you, and I can still be manipulative as heck. Right? You can still be coercive, even with good intent, because it's not intent that makes the difference. It's permission. It's when you tell me, yes, Michelle, I want you to close me. Yes, I want to know more about what you have for self. Then it becomes my responsibility to use whatever skills I have in persuasion and influence to help you get to your goal. When I, as a coach, have permission to help you reach your goals, then I better show up with whatever influence and persuasion I can exert and help you reach that goal, because then it's become my job because you asked for it. The difference really isn't intent, it's permission. And if you have permission to close somebody, then it shifts that entire conversation. So, you know, that's been a big 100%. Thing that I've talked about a lot with clients and people over the last year is, you don't need to be manipulative. You don't need to be coercive. All you need to do is show up with the intent to serve the person you are on the phone with, to help them get to their best decision. And if they say, yes, I want to know more, yes, tell me about your program, yes, I want to work with you, then you go into a close. And it's not a let me squeeze you into something. It's an invitation. for them to make a good decision, to work with you, to solve a problem and to reach a goal. And in that way, I get excited about sales when I can look at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's totally different than the way most of us are taught to approach a sales conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, I've mentored about 12 people I've mentored this year, and I've got some carrying over to next year. Some of them we've just ended, but I've got a couple more people that are signing on in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
The one person that I was like, well, I kind of count them, is we had one session, and I didn't feel good from it from the start. We had one session, didn't feel good, and then I refunded their money.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think this is going to work. You know, and they're like, well, because it was a conversation about, well, I'm not sure I'm in a really good place. And I was like, I knew it. And they told me I'm not in a good place. You know, I'm like, yeah, I kind of figured. And then she asked me, you know, yeah, I'd like to get my money back. And I was like, well, typically I don't give refunds. I never give refunds because what I charge you is very generous. And to the point that, you know, an hour of my time just netted you. And I know it netted her some money. Like, I told her what to do, and she got some money. Like, she got paid. Like, she, you know what I mean? So I was like, and you got money. So it's almost like I felt like, well, I just wanted to pay just to get some information out of you, and now I want my money back. It's kind of, I don't know. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. Get away from me, and here's your money back. I don't want to deal with people like that. But I knew from the start, I'm like, this just doesn't feel good. So the nine remaining people this year, especially towards the end, since like September, October, really, like, when I started working with people was like, I'm not going to sell you anything. Just so you know, I'm not going to sell you anything. If we don't work together, you know, it's not a big deal. I just want to know where you're at and how I can best serve you and best help you.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, I was totally on guard. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And I was like, I don't want to be like that. And I'll tell you that the whole close rate thing, like, I don't even know what it is, but I do know that most of them were like, I would love to work with you just because of the attitude and the way I approach things. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help you. I'm here to make whatever it is that you want to happen, happen.
Yep.
But I don't need to have some psychology, salesy, spammy, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I've literally yelled at people over the phone, and I'm not this typical way. Like, yeah, military dude, high strung, whatever. But I literally have been on a phone talking to somebody going, like, this is what I want to do. And they're like, that's awesome. Like, do you love money? Like, do I love?
Right.
I don't understand. I was like, I mean, you want money, right? Who doesn't want money? Yeah. Well, do you like success? I'm like, what the f- are you getting at? Like, I was like, you know what? From now on, it's all
on the script.
No, bro. I don't love money. Money's evil. And so I started doing this. I started doing this on Facebook messengers. I would get a message like, hey, saw that you're a speaker. I have an amazing program. Do you love money? I'd go, no, bro. Christianity is against money. You know? And they're like, okay. Do you not want to be successful? I'm like, no. I hope I'm the unsuccessfulest, most person in the world. And they're like, okay, have a nice day.
You know, it's crazy because we get those, you know, any of us, we can go out there and for $47 have this perfect sales script, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work 99.9% of the time, because really I'm not looking for somebody to get on the phone with me and ask me questions about money and success and tell me this is the only way I'm going to succeed. What we're all looking for is somebody to believe in us, somebody to say, I see you and I know you can do this and I'm here to support you with it. And to be able to bring our skill set, whatever it is, to help that person achieve their goals. Because that's what people really want. Like, in today's world, we are all starved for belief in ourselves. We are all starved 100%. For anybody who sees that potential in us. And it's so sad. I know you mentioned earlier that I see the world a little bit differently. And that is not the first time someone has told me that. I argue with people like passionately about this all the time. I'm like, I refuse to believe that everything out there is evil and negative and whatever else. I believe we were all created, and somewhere inside of all of us, we were designed at our core to be good. We were designed to be amazing and to get out there and make a difference. And we all have gifts, we all have a story, like you said. And it's one of those things that if we get out of our own way, like stop looking for the perfect script. Just show up to serve the person that you're talking to. Just show up to find out what is their problem and can I solve it? If I can't solve it, who do I know that can? Because that's
right.
All you've really got to do if you want to make sales calls work is go, okay, what's
yep.
your problem? Where are you stuck? Let me help you solve it, because that's where the value is. If you can take a problem and find the solution that matches it and be that bridge that connects them, you can build a successful business. And that's the other thing that I end up doing a lot of with clients is looking at their service and going, okay, what problem do you actually solve? Because that's the way most entrepreneurs, especially for the first few years in their business, they can't actually answer. They don't know what the problem they solve is. They know what the thing is that they do, but they don't know why they're doing it and what difference it makes for people. And really, you know, there's different exercises you can use to find out. There's the three whys theory, where you ask somebody, why do you do it?
Yeah.
They answer you,
yeah.
Why that? You know, and
yeah.
those types of exercises you can use. But if you really know what the problem you solve is, why that matters, and what it is your clients want more than anything, you don't need a script. All you need is to 100%. Show up and connect with that person. Yeah.
And do you know what the punchline is in all of this right now? Do you know what the punchline is? You do this because you give a damn.
Yeah.
That's the punchline, because you give a damn.
Yeah.
On a sales script, you don't give a damn. You're all about the money and you're all about closing.
Right.
That's why it's so hard for me to get into people like Grant Cardone, because I just feel like he's always closing. And I just feel like I'm always being sold to. Like, some of it's genuine, and then I really start feeling genuine about it, and then bam, he hits you with a sales.
Right.
I'm like, there it is. Like, guys like Gary Vaynerchuk, I get into those guys because he's like, I don't want nothing. Like, I can't tell you one thing that Gary V sells besides shoes and books. Like, I don't know what he sells. I don't know how much his coaching program is. Think about this for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Gary Vaynerchuk – I mean, does he have a coaching program? Like, I don't freaking know. I mean, I know a couple things. Like, he's starting a speakers bureau this year. Like, that's badass. I want to join that.
Well, that's cool.
Like,
I didn't know that.
That would be
cool.
Vayner Speakers. Yeah, Vayner Speakers. And I messaged him. I was like, bro, I'm in. I got a TEDx talk, and I speak, like, you know, everywhere. Like, I'm so in on this thing. Like, I don't know how much it costs, but I'm freaking going to rob a bank to do it. So the thing is, I don't know what his mentoring programs are. I know that Tony Robbins earns $1 million from coaching. Like, somebody pays him one-on-one mentoring for like $1 million or something stupid, right? I know how much his UPW events are. I know how much that is. I know how much Grant Cardone's programs and products and services are. I know how much a lot of people's programs, products, and services are. But the people that I care about a lot of what they say, and the people that I really know, like you, like, I don't know how much your stuff is. I know it's really good. I don't know how much it is. I know Gary Vaynerchuk's stuff is really good, but I don't know how much it is, because they're not always selling. Every other Facebook post isn't something that they're selling, you know? And there's a lot of people that I respect in the industry that I have no idea what it would take to work with them, but I love their stuff. And that says something, because if I love your stuff, I'm going to do business with you.
Yeah. You know, what it says to me is really when we stay focused and just show up, deliver value, solve problems, the rest of it takes care of itself. You know, if you look at every major world religion, they all have that karmic principle of sowing and reaping. What you put out there really does come back to you. And it's funny, because when I talk about content marketing, and that's, you know, what we're doing here with podcasting, it's what I do with blogging, it's what we do with social media. When your focus is, let me put out something that's valuable for people, let me find something that I can share that will help people have that mindset shift, help them have that aha moment, you don't have to blatantly get out there and every post be, hey, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, because people see the authority and the experience and the knowledge that you have, and they come to you and ask, hey, how do I work with you? And it flips everything around. Sales call feels so much better and so different when the person comes to you saying, hey, I want to work with you. You shouldn't have to convince somebody on a sales call. If I get on a sales call and you're like, I need to see results, I need to see client testimonials, I know we're not meant to work together. This is not how I start client relationships. You know, I've got pages of video testimonials and testimonials from clients and clients telling me, you know, this is my best year in business. And, you know, we doubled our list, all those things. But I want you to know that before I ever get on the phone with you, because I want you to be able to see those results. And we have the conversation from the point of view of what's possible if we work together, not can I prove to you that it's going to work. Totally different.
100%. And that's really what I love about you is I know that you're good at what you do, and I know that I'd feel comfortable referring people to you. You know, if I don't feel comfortable referring somebody out, then I'm not going to do business with you. Like, why? If I'm not comfortable sending people, and I, like I said, 37% of my business is based off of referrals. If somebody refers me to a person and they sign with me, then I'm going to give them money back. If I get referred to a speaking engagement and I'm getting booked to speak and I'm getting paid for it, I'm going to pay them for the referral. Like that's, but I definitely don't work with people on referrals and say, hey, I don't care who you send me or I don't care who, like, heck no, because I'm not going to refer them back to that person because their programs suck or they're a terrible person. Like I'm just literally not going to do business with people like that. And that's just me. And
totally agree.
And you said something. Yes. Awesome. Thank you. I thought I was the only one.
No, you know, because I do a lot of affiliate marketing. Like I really enjoyed your episode with Matt and Joe. You guys talked a little bit about what they had done with that. And I do affiliate marketing. Like half my income last month was through affiliate promotions that I did, but I don't care what the commission is. I don't care what the percentage is. If I haven't tried your product or I haven't been through your training and I don't know and trust you to get results for the people I send you, I'm not sending anybody to you. I need to know that my people, my community are going to be excited about your thing. And I am really picky about what I promote for the same reason. But it's funny because the flip side of that, when I have clients come in, because so much of what I do is automation, is really the tactical and strategic, how do we scale you? When I have clients come in and they say, yeah, everything's referral-based right now, I'm like, awesome. They're like, why is that awesome? I can't scale it. I'm like, if you're getting referrals, you are doing everything right in your business enough that I know we can make the online marketing thing work because you've already proven you're delivering so much value, your clients are referring other clients to you. That's all I need to know to say I can help you make this work bigger.
100%. You know, I've gotten a couple referrals this year and it felt amazing. And so, 100%. But again, you touched on something not psychology. Well, I mean, you could get into a debate whether this is all about psychology or not, but the know, like, and trust factor. People who know, like, and trust you will do business with you. I don't know anybody that just blindly goes and does business with somebody, you know? And that's where I need to see your referrals because they don't know you. Yeah. I need to see your referrals. I look at it the same way as would I trust this person to watch my kids, to babysit my kids?
Yeah.
But that's my standard. Like, would I trust them to watch my children? If I wouldn't trust you to watch my children, I'm not doing freaking business with you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you bring that up because that's one of the things that I know. I argue with people about know, like, and trust for a couple of reasons. I think we get it wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's not about whether you know, like, and trust me. I think when you come to me as a client, you need to know that I understand you, that I know you, that I get where you're at. I know what it feels like, and I can help you fix it. I think you need to know that I like you. I don't just do this for the money. I do it because I genuinely want to see you succeed. I see the value in what you do. And I think you need to know that I trust you, that I believe this time you're going to do the work, you're going to make the right choices, and you're going to make it happen. And when we flip that around, it's another one of those things that entirely shifts the way we approach working with clients. Now, yeah, you got to know I exist. Absolutely. If you don't know I exist, you can't say yes to working with me. Do you have to like me? Not necessarily. Some of my coaches that I've worked with over the years, I don't like. I don't like them. Sometimes I don't like them a lot, but I love them at the end of working with them because they got me a result, right? Because it's not about do I like you as a person. It's about can you get me the result? You know, and it really is most of the time when people say no to us, it's not about whether they trust us. It's about whether they trust themselves. Do they trust themselves to make the right decision? Have they been burned before? Do they need reassured that they can make a good choice, that it wasn't their fault, that wherever they're at, they can change it? And so I kind of tell people, right. I think we need to flip that no, like, and trust around and look at it from the other perspective, because it really does make a big difference. It goes back to what we talked about earlier. We have enough voices around us telling us to get back inside the box, to play small, that we don't matter, that we can't make a difference. We need that coach. We need that voice that says, you absolutely can, and you have something freaking amazing to share with the world.
And another example of Michelle's brilliance and how she sees the world differently.
You know, perfect. Everything you see, we have the choice. We have the choice how we look at it. And when we change the way we look at things, everything changes.
I love it. Oh, man, I love it. What a great start to 2019. Amazing. So for the listeners listening, if anything resonated with you, check out Michelle Schaefer at michelleschaefer.com. And it's all in the show notes. You can go to the Art of Giving a Damn. .com. Check out our podcast, subscribe, rate, and review the show. It's available everywhere podcasts are podcasted. So there's a link there. 41 collaborative ways to grow your business. theartofgivingadamn.com/41. I am going to check this out because I'm super, like, I'm like collaborative, like how collaborative, like, I don't care. I'm going to check it out because I'm on your email list. I read a lot of your emails, and the one I got today that was like, am I crazy? I was like, well, I got this one. Like, but it's still good stuff. It's not a bunch of fluffy, fluff, you know, and then buy my shit. Like, I get so many, I subscribe to email lists just so I can see what they're emailing out. Like, I want to see what they do. Like, right. I'm analyzing people's scripts. Literally, most of the people, like Laurel's and Lisa's and, like, you know, a lot of the high-level influencers, I want to see what they're peddling. I want to see what their scripts are, you know? Yeah. You know what it is? Hey, you want to be amazing. Buy my shit.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think that goes back to the whole, what's your mindset when it comes to marketing and sales? I've had so many people tell me email marketing is dead, or you can't write long emails anymore. Nobody will read them. The email that I sent out earlier this week, you might've seen it, that I talked about the 3 secrets to success and the unicorn principle. Yep. That was a long email, but
God,
that made more
that
sales. It made more sales than anything else that I sent out this week. And the reason was because there was actual value in it. It was me sharing, hey, these are the 3 things that when I do them consistently, I succeed in business, in life, in whatever I'm doing. These are the things that make the difference. Now, I could have said, oh, I'm going to charge you $97 to tell you this. But that's not the way I choose to do business. I want to put it out there and go, hey, make these changes. Change your perspective. Look at it this way, because I know if you resonate with that and you're willing to look at things differently, I can help you. I can make a difference for you. Those are the people I want. So the way that I do, you know, marketing, emails, all of that, it's filtering. It's me saying, if you're willing to actually read this email and you still like me at the end of it, we can work together.
Right. Yeah, 100%. So as we close the show, so you got about a minute left. As we close the show, how can they work with you? If somebody wants to work with you, who do you work with and how can they get a hold of you? You got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay. Well, michelleschaefer.com is where you can find out more about me. Reach out. I would love to have a conversation and just find out where you're at. If I can't help you, like Sean says, I probably know somebody who can. So I'll leave it at that in 30 seconds.
Perfect. So Michelle, I think you're absolutely amazing. Absolutely awesome. Hopefully you'll be in Tampa at the New Media Summit next month.
I
would love to hang out with you again.
Yes, I will be there.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well,
anything else you want to say?
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, the only thing I'd love to leave people with is just, I don't care what you've been told by who in your life, you know you have something amazing inside you. So make the decision to do whatever it takes to get it out there and share it with the world, you can build an amazing business around that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being an amazing guest.
Thanks for having me on.
So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you, please subscribe to the Art of Giving a Damn podcast and my show as well. Reach out to Michelle. She is absolutely amazing and crushing it. So as I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. So with that, have a great 2019.